Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan, our coverage of Nats spring training, continuing in West Palm Beach, presented by Main Street Bank. It's your local bank, local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We are live for the next 3 hours in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 1051. We are, of course, live until 6:30 today and every day on our flagship, and the flagship for the Nats in the DMV, 106.7 The Fan. And joined now by Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball operations. Mike, we have been in the clubhouse the last couple of days. Very, very young group of players who are very pleasant to talk to. And it just seems like all of them very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's, you know, high energy, youth and exuberance and high energy. And, you know, mixing with a few veterans to kind of guide us through through how to be a big leaguer, which is a good mix. But their energy level is terrific. Their work ethic is great, and they're getting after it. They're happy to be in the big league clubhouse, and a lot of them it's the first or second time they've been in it, and there's a good vibe down there, and it's fun to be around them.
You mentioned vets sort of as that guidepost, right? Guys that have obviously been through this before. There's been different tones over the years. Like, I think of a guy like Jason Worth or some other guys where I don't want to say it feels more like policing, but it did feel that way. It's almost like, the hall monitor in a certain way. These guys, it feels a little bit more everyone's kind of in it together a little bit. Not that one was bad, or it just feels different in that way.
Yeah, I think that, when you have that veteran-laden team that, been there before, won before, trying to win again. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the vibe back then, where it took the wily veteran in the room to kind of focus everybody in on today's agenda and that type of thing. This is, you've got guys that have kind of come up together in the minor leagues. They're in their first big league camp together in the big leagues. Even the big league club last year was a very young team. We're going to be one of the youngest teams in the game in the game again this year. And you can kind of see them growing together. You've got the pack of pitchers, starting pitchers together, the pack of, back end relievers, eating, going to dinner together. And, the young prospect pack is there. So it's fun to see, the kind of separations, but when they get in that clubhouse, it's all a melting pot, and it's all, they all get along great.
Did you have an expectation at the start of the offseason, like blueprint of what you were hoping your transactions would look like, and how did what you get done reflect that? You end up pretty much with Senzel, Gallo, not a whole lot of additional veterans coming in. Was that kind of the thought going in, or did the market play out in a weird way?
Well, we had a certain milepost to hit, and we felt we did, we got the best bang for our buck. We think of Senzel as a guy has a chance to be a big time bounce back player. We've taken this route before with Candelaria and Schwarber and, Josh Bell and that group. So, we kind of see Joey Gallo and Senzel, in that vein. Floro, to me is just a good veteran arm that's closed games before in the big leagues, and it'll help the depth of our bullpen. And then we went to non-roster route, and some of those guys are coming off injury plague seasons, but have a history of being, good quality major league players. So we're in here with few positions that are set in stone, and competition is rampant here, and I think competition is good for a young team.
It's one thing, clearly you guys aren't in a place where you're going to spend a lot, but it seems like there's a benefit if there's a good thing to the roster as it currently is. I don't see anybody really blocking your top bats. So when Wood, Hassel, House, whoever it is ready, Lipscomb, they're going to be able to play. Is that by design, or is that just a nice element to one of the few good things, I guess, to not really getting the checkbook to work with right now?
Well, nobody ever blocks a great player coming up to the big leagues. You could have as many outfielders as you want. When Juan Soto was ready for the big leagues, no one was blocking Juan Soto. So it the same thing with, all the young guys that we've had in the past. So, when players are ready to get to the big leagues and impact the big leagues, they'll get here, and obviously when they get here, they're going to be throw them in there every day. So I think that the you know, we never go into this thing with a you know, what can help our team and impact our team. The biggest bang for our buck, you know, for what we have now, and you know, if for some reason, you know, five of these prospects just are not going to allow us to send them out to the minor leagues, then we'll make those. You know, those are good decisions to have to make.
Mike, what does success look like this year?
It's to win baseball games. We're in the winning business, and we haven't done much of it the last couple of years, and we want to win games. That's never changed. All the byproducts of learning how to win, getting reps in the big leagues. That's all good and great in the long term landscape of things. But we want to win games this year, and it's not out of our expectations to expect to go out there and give ourselves a chance to win every day.
Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops for the Nats, on Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach. Joey Gallo has been a 40 home run bat in the big leagues. Obviously not at that point of his career, but what do you think a season looking ahead looks like for him? And is he a trade chip possibly? Is he someone you see hitting a lot of bombs all year long here? What's it look like?
Well, the trade chip possibility is always there. It depends on where we're at the trade deadline. You know what I mean? Do we have a couple of chips that'll bring us back, good prospect close to the big leagues that'll help us in the near future? We would always consider that, but if he's having such a great year at the break with Senzel and the rest of the guys we brought in and we're competing, you know, what's to say that we don't sell at the deadline? But Joey Gallo's been an established player for a long time. I think we know what we got with Joey. I think what's the only thing that's really underrated for him is he's a terrific defender, and no one talks about that. You know, they talk about the on-base percentage, the power, and the strikeouts, which are pretty much, you know, set in stone with him. But he gives you a Gold Glove caliber guy in the outfield, and he's a heck of a first baseman. He's a great athlete for as big a human being as he is, and I think that. That kind of goes under the radar a little bit, but he's fit in here great. He's come in here. He's fired up to be here. He's taking care of his own business, but he's always been good with the young kids and giving them information. So we're happy that he's on board.
He's won two Gold Gloves in the past.
Yeah.
He's exclusively in camp so far worked at first. Mm-hmm. Is that just because you know what he is?
That's where he needs the reps, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we're gonna work him on it first. I think that early on in the season, I think you'll see him, be more of a playing more at first base than in the outfield. I think that the reason that he's gotten more reps there right now is because he's got less experience there than he does in the outfield.
I want to ask you about a couple guys, Mike, that have been around but are still young. It's a strange thing. Guys like Juan Soto, who you mentioned earlier, kind of ruined our eye line for everybody. It's like, what do you mean you're not hitting, 40 homers as a 19-year-old? We get a little bit spoiled. Victor Robles, Luis Garcia, guys that have, been with the club for a while, but I don't want to say haven't necessarily done everything as consistently as you'd like to this point, but still both very young guys. Your approach with those guys this year?
Yeah, guys have shown flashes. In 2019, you had a rookie center fielder be a vital part of a world championship club at 19 or 20 years old at the time. So they've both shown flashes of excellence. Their inconsistency has always gotten them, and we want them to be more consistent. We want them to go out there and grab the job by the throat and take it and win it. When we see that they'll have it. But like I said, there's very few jobs that are set in stone and that are won already. There's going to be competition at all positions, and I think that's going to be healthy for them. I think it'll raise their game and the people around them.
Robles, 26. Luis Garcia, 23. The one that stands out is you think of Victor Robles, like he's 29. He's been around forever. But to your point, both of those guys, Danny, sub-27 years old. Big year for a few of your prospects turned now established major leaguers. K-Bert Ruiz really came forward with power, hitting last year. The metrics defensively, framing and otherwise, were not good. But I've seen he's on one knee. You guys are working with him. He's closer to the plate. A lot of the things that are happening in the game now from a receiving standpoint, you guys are really harping on with him. What have you seen so far? And what's the emphasis on that? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, defensively, he realized he wants to improve. I think that early on in his career with us, when we first got him, he threw the ball much better to second base. I think that the wear and tear of the position, you know, causes that to change over the year, and you have to work on it constantly through the season. I think that a real focus that we put on him last year, the onus of handling this young pitching staff and game calling and strategy and advanced scouting and that type of thing were things that we felt he came a long way with last year. Offensively, you know, he's got a good eye at the plate. He's, you know, very few swings and misses, doesn't strike out much, and employed some power last year into his game. So, when you get a catcher who catches, I think he was one of the leaders in games caught last year. And so you have a durable guy that's always available, that wants to play. That can hit you 20, 25 home runs behind the plate and as a switch hitter. I think it's an extremely valuable guy and came a long way with his game calling last year. If he takes another step in the right direction defensively with some pitch framing and his throwing mechanics, I think that you got yourself a guy that's going to be kind of a rock behind the plate for handling a very young pitching staff.
You mentioned pitching staff next steps. Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, obviously both have shown some signs. I mean, Gray's an all-star last year, for goodness sakes. Next step for those guys, kind of growth-wise, what do you want to see from them, some metrics, milestones, and your approach for them this year?
Just consistency. They're working extremely hard in pitch shapes and pitch mix and that type of thing. They're both very analytically savvy, so they're always in the film room, and they're always at the analytic lab and that type of thing. So I think that the next step with them is consistency, durability, strike throwing, quality strikes, and I think that the sky's the limit for both of those guys because their stuff and their makeup is of the ilk of those guys who are front of the rotation guys on championship clubs.
What's the balance of that for you? Like, if a guy throws a pitch and he runs over and is like, what was the spin rate on that particular slider in the RPMs? Or, you know, I mean, like, how much of that do you want versus how much of that is, hey, you still got to go out and do it?
Hey, you be you. It's whatever works, whatever it takes to get you to where you need to be. It works with me.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a bevy of intelligent analytical people. We've got good pitching coaches. We've got good analytical guys. And now with Doolittle, kind of being the conduit between them. So we've got good communication, and we're kind of synced up on how to gather information and how to filter information and how to deliver information. And I think that'll be a big step in a lot of progressions, including those two. But that list will be very, very long.
Gray and Gore both off to really good starts in the spring. Gray last year thrived with hard hit rate, not having been an issue, 66th percentile, and then Mackenzie Gore, obviously the swing and miss, and the whiff percentage is really good. You mentioned Doolittle. This is one of my favorite little developments of the offseason, but I think it's a big deal. It doesn't get talked about a lot. That conduit between the player and the staff and the ability to bridge analytics. And I feel like you guys have had the tech maybe, and people act like you guys are like using stopwatches, and yet you've never had TrackMan and stuff from the outside. And I'm out there yesterday. You got Hawkeye on your backfields and whatnot. But now you've got a guy who can take it from Hickey to the players and maybe bridge gaps. Am I wrong in saying like Doolittle's going to be a massive part of this operation now and helping with the next wave of pitching development?
I think he's important. It was an important hire. It was to me, when he announced his retirement, we immediately discussed it at his retirement announcement party. So, we talked.
Congratulations!
About it.
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
What do you think? Congratulations. What are you thinking? What are you going to do? And often, guys who have played in the big leagues, 10 years or more, like he has, they like to take a year or two off, and because they've made enough money, and take a year or two off before they figure out what they want to do. But he was, he's a DC resident, and he wants to stay. He's going to stay here. He was staying here regardless, and felt that it was it was something that was kind of an easy match, matchmaking a system with it. You know, Hickey loved him, Davey loved him already. You know, I loved him, you know, he has, you know, he's close enough to pitching age to really know those guys. He played with a couple of the guys, mm-hmm. And I think that you know, he walks in there with respect you know, a credible voice, and you know, he's gone through a lot of things in his career, which I think even broadens him even more. You know what I mean? That you know, he came in as a prospect as a hitter. He got injured, couldn't do that anymore. You know, a lot of people would have been done by then. At that time, he goes on the mound, becomes a pitcher. He's pitching in World Series and All-Star games and that type of thing, and reinvented himself during that time. The last couple of years been on the DL, was down here a long time down here. And you know how it is here in that grind of, you know, June, July, and August, mm-hmm. when you're one of the only people down here. You've played in the big leagues for 10, 11 years, and you're down here trying to get through with it, you know, trying to get back to the big leagues. So he knows that grind. He's got the mental, the physical, and the spiritual knowledge that it takes to excel in the big leagues. And I think that, you know, his main asset to me was that he's you know, he's analytical to the point where he's really, really smart, but he also knows how to filter it and distribute it in a way that players really receive it well.
Mike Rizzo at West Palm Beach giving us a few minutes here. Outlook on the 2024 Nationals. One of the big stories is that the kids are balling. They're playing really well, obviously early in camp. Does James Wood have a chance to be on the opening day roster?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anybody doesn't have a chance. They, you know, they've got to kick the door down and force us to put him on the team and you know, win the job. That's it. We want to take the best guys forward. It's not the, you know, it's not the best future guys. It's the best guys, you know, right now, it's got to make sense for his development. And if any of those guys are ready to go, we've shown no apprehension to bring guys to the big leagues. We've brought more 19-year-old players to the big leagues probably than anybody in the league.
True. There's also now the opportunity, and I didn't think it would happen often, but 2 years ago Julio Rodriguez won the Rookie of the Year and the Mariners got a first-round pick. This past year, Gunnar Rodriguez won the Rookie of the Year, and the Orioles are getting a first-round pick. And for people that don't know, if you have a top 50-ish prospect and they're on the opening day roster from day one on and they win Rookie of the Year, you're gifted a draft pick. Does that in any way affect how you would consider the decision for him?
You know, I don't. It's not going to impact my decision. My decision is what's best for the player and for the team and the player long term. And that's, you know, to me, that's always my thing that I think about. And it's it, you know, getting ready for the big leagues. When you're ready for the big leagues, everyone will know it. We'll know it, and we'll bring it to the big leagues. That's just the way we've always done it.
Mike, give me a guy or two that you think is in for a monster campaign.
You know, we've got plenty of guys on that big league team that are going to take the next step. You take the next step if CJ takes the next step. You know, what does he become? If Gore gets to where he can be, you know, his stuff left hand is as good a stuff as anybody we've seen in the big leagues, and it's as good as anybody's. Now, when he gets honed in and throws more strikes and more quality pitches and goes deeper into games, you know, the training wheels are off for those guys now, so they can go deep into games and deep into the season and pitch deep innings. So that's you know, that's a big step for all those guys. And you know, JoJo is taking two great big steps forward, and if he continues to do that, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be really good for us. But you know, who's to say? You know, who's to say who's going to jump out this year? You know, Lane Thomas appeared, jumped out, you know, a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. and nobody knew his name until now. He was an all-star caliber player last year, and you know, we're looking forward to seeing those guys emerge. Our young guys emerge at the minor league level, and then kind of filtering those guys up, into the big leagues to impact the big league team at a crucial time in our rebuild.
It's back-to-back Nationals Player of the Year, Lane Thomas, that you're talking about. Who you got for John Lester? Does Mozeliak still answer the phone when you call? Or
yeah, you know, he's made a lot of good trades too, and you know, you know, it's always good to get what you need at the time, and sometimes at the time doesn't bode well for the future.
Sure. A couple of moments, the quick things left. Has the system, you guys had a run where you go Bryce, you know, Rendon, Soto, you know, you're just bringing one star up after another. But I don't ever remember the depth of the system from a hitting standpoint like it is right now. Maybe pitching's a little further along, especially with Cade and Sakura and Brixey and some of the injuries you guys are dealing with. But from a bat standpoint, have you been this deep really at any point since you've been here in terms of layering?
No, I think we're as deep and well defined and toolsy as we've ever been. It's the, you know, it's the best group of minor league prospects that we've ever had. But we've never come in last place for 4 years in a row and get high picks and you know, a lot of international money and that type of thing. We traded away a lot of good players to get these good minor league prospects and you know, we're just you know, waiting for the next wave of those guys to come and you know, to get on another 8 to 10 year run of excellence. That's our goal. Nobody wants these long rebuilds and that type of thing. I certainly don't. And so we think that we see the light at the end of the tunnel. I think that you know, our improvement last year was vast. I think we played a lot better baseball. Credit to Davey for polishing that, the way we played the game up. And you're seeing some young players get to the big leagues. And we talk about these top 100 prospect lists all the time. And, you know, C.J. Abrams is younger than, you know, 80% of the guys on those lists still. And he's already got, you know, almost a year and a half of big league time in. So that's where we think we're at. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. We've got a plan in place. And the fan base has been inviting and supportive and that type of thing. But, you know, nobody's up for one of these long-term rebuilds.
Last thing, you may have known this for a while. We just found out. Mark Lerner came out and said that the Lerners are not selling the team.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you? Does that change anything from being in flux? Or is that something you knew for a long time?
No, it's, you know, business as usual. It was business as usual when the team was, quote-unquote, up for sale, and now it's same business as usual when they say that they're holding on to the team. So I always plan on the Lerner family being the owners. That's how we always reacted and responded, and so nothing's changed in that regard.
You guys are making our trip well worth it. We appreciate all the hospitality. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Mike.
Pleasure always.
General Manager and President of Baseball Ops for the Nats, Mike Rizzo, on Grant and Danny. Here on The Fan. Our double play is coming up at 3:45. We are blitzing at 4. There's some non-Nats news to get into, including a loss in the sports reporting world yesterday that we've got to discuss, and massive Capitals news with Evgeny Kuznetsov over the weekend. You're listening to G&D.